The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, come on in for the 9 o'clock hour. It's our final hour together before the rest of the day unfolds. Mike Gallagher from 10 to noon, Dennis Prager noon to 2, Sean Hannity 2 to 5, Larry Elder from 5 to 8. Oh, my, that sounds like a broadcast day, and we've had quite the broadcast day this morning. Who knew when we broke camp on Friday at 10 a.m. that we would have the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and an enormous vacancy to fill there on the Supreme Court, various other things going on in the news. Now, I'll tell you one thing it's really cool about right now. If there's anything I like to find cause to celebrate, it's anything that speaks of normalcy. This is why sticking a mask on big techs drove me insane. There enough of life is screwed up. The fact that I got to wear that stupid mask all over the place, and I do, and I only speak of it harshly because I hate it. I'm doing it. I'm being a good citizen, a good guy. I don't want to be a jerk. I don't want to get into mask talk for another hour, blah, blah, blah. The point is that if there's anything that can remain normal, leave it alone. Leave it alone. And somebody needs to climb that 55 feet of big tax and cut that thing off his beautiful face. I can't see your smile, but I want to see his. And by the way, I'm not talking about vandalism. I mean, somebody in charge over there. Now, here's something else that we haven't been able to do since March. And these are the roughly monthly gatherings of my friends Tom Giovanetti and Buddy Matthews at the IPI. We have our monthly get-togethers of conservatives and a big happy lunch group, and we all do a buffet, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? We ain't doing no buffet, and we're going to have distancing, but the event is starting to happen again in person. And one of the really cool things about those events is we get really nifty guests every once in a while, and boy, do we have one today. Gentleman has come up, I assume he's been in the district or in Washington. He is one of Texas' newest members of Congress from the 27th district down Victoria Way, close to the Gulf Coast. It's a pleasure to say hi to Congressman Michael Cloud. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Good to talk with you.
It is, yes, came up
from Texas.
It is wonderful. that's a good thing. It is wonderful. Well, listen, let's talk about you. It is the 27th district. That was the Blake Ferrand Hole district, and well, whoops, some unfortunate things happened there. So that became a vacancy. What made you think, hey, I need to be in Congress?
Well, I have to say it wasn't my idea originally. I went to Oral Roberts University. I moved to Texas actually to work at a church, and mm-hmm. then was doing that for a while. Just got involved locally, politically, grassroots. Always been a grassroots guy. Some people came to us and said, "Hey, we think you should run for Congress." And of course, my straightaway answer was, "No, that's for other people." But you know, we had talked to people. All the time. One thing I talk about all the time, just trying to get people engaged in the process, is, of course, the story of Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention saying, right. Do we have a republic or do we have a monarchy? We have a republic if you can keep it. Mm-hmm. So kind of my own words came back to haunt me. My wife and I prayed about it. Really, Joshua 1 became really big for us as we were kind of weighing this, and where God talks to Joshua and he says, be strong and courageous. A few verses later says, be strong and courageous, and gets to verse 9 and says, haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous?
Are you listening to me as I tell you to be strong and courageous? Exactly. So you had been the chair, the county Republican chair in Victoria County for most of the decade up to then, right?
Yes. I had been the county chair for about 7 years. Again, all grassroots. Loved mm-hmm. working with the people. Loved our community. Great night for me is being able to hug my kids at night. So going to Washington, but it's where we are, and it's certainly an honor to serve. Who would have thought though the times we'd be in right now? You know, I knew we would have robust debate over issues We'd have things that there was deep disagreements in, but the fact that we're discussing things like should we have a police department or not, you know, at this point in our nation, it's just.
I know. Who knew? And then when you get in, who knew that you would get to sit for an impeachment? And we learn over the weekend, you might get another one. I don't think anybody takes this seriously, but all the eyes are on the Senate. But Nancy Pelosi was there on This Week with Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos served this up to her. You know, is there anything you can do to stop this? Is there anything you can do to slow this? And for about 60 golden seconds, she essentially said, well, anything's possible, and floated seemingly for a moment the notion of another impeachment to stop the Supreme Court nomination. Welcome to your life.
Well, as we all know now, it was never about a search for truth. And, you know, I was on the oversight committee, so I was one of the people who got to sit in the skiff across the table from Adam Schiff and watch the shenanigans unfold. And, you know, it was never about a search for truth. It was always a witch hunt and trying to, you know, the things that would come out and get leaked every day versus the things that wouldn't come out and get leaked every day, like the time someone, you know, he asked someone who was like, you know, did you talk to the president about this? I saw him in the hallway and I mentioned I was coming to the meeting. What did he say? He said, tell the truth. That's all he said. Yes. That part didn't leak, you know, so
imagine that. Imagine. Congressman Michael Cloud is here. Michael Cloud is congressman from Texas 27th District. You know, having mentioned the SCIF, wonderful acronym, it is the Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility, right? I mean, if you can tell me without killing me, where is that thing and what is it like walking in there?
Oh, it's I want to say 2-3 floors down. It's in the Capitol building. Uh-huh. It's in the basement of the basement.
Yeah.
Of the basement, maybe.
Right.
And of course you go in and there's this long hallway and that's where you leave your cell phones and everything. And then you walk in, you know, it's the press sit outside of it. So I don't think it's a big top secret where it is.
Right.
But then once you go in, there's a number of security measures to make sure that proper protocols are taken.
And what were the things, what was the nature of the things that you just couldn't listen to in your office or it couldn't be emailed to you? What is the nature of something where you've got to go down into three basements down to listen to it in the SCIF?
There's some sensitive information that can't be made public, obviously, mm-hmm. when it comes to funding certain things. There's also, in this case, it was just the effort to try to control the transcripts of the testimonies. Mm-hmm. You know, any other time this has gone through the Judiciary Committee through an open process, but they couldn't control the information flow that way. And so by putting it in the Intelligence Committee, while we might add the Intelligence Committee's focus could and should have been on China, leading into what we now know of COVID, it was really all about, okay, if we put it in this environment, we get to control the information flow. We get to put everyone in the room under a gag order. Again, like I said, it's never been about a search for truth or doing what's right. It's about manipulating every control you can to control the narrative.
Gotcha. It was a special election that got you in. Was that July of 18?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. So you're just rounding the corner. it's all a blur. Trust me. No problem. So we're rounding the corner of 2 years. What's it been like? How's the Trump presidency working out for you? Just how's the landscape?
Well, like I said, you know, you jump in something like this because you want to make a difference, and you look forward to those honest, open debates that'll hopefully bring resolution to the issues that the American people are facing. This experience under the leadership of the House right now has been extraordinarily not that. It's been so much of what happens in Washington right now is the tail wagging the dog. And you think that the leadership would see an issue in America, would have a robust debate about fixing that issue. But unfortunately, what happens, it's more along the lines of, okay, we have a person in a swing district that we need to run an ad on. So what bill could we put on the floor, make it intentionally partisan so that you will have yes and no votes, and so you can run a commercial on it, you know, and that's the kind of backward thinking that often leads the process right now.
No doubt, no doubt. Congressman Michael Cloud with us. Last couple of minutes, of confidence runs high, especially in conservative circles for the Trump reelection. Certainly we're going to keep the Senate red. We're going to work on that. But if we are allowed to dream our sweetest dreams, we dream of flipping the House so that Nancy Pelosi simply is not Speaker anymore. Think that's possible?
I do think it's possible. We certainly have to do our job. We can't take anything for granted. But, you know, I really think people are seeing my one comfort going into November is so much of the extreme left's embrace of lawlessness. It's been there before, but it's been under the water level, so to speak. And now it has literally poured over into the street. And the American people are seeing that. And I think in November we'll see the results of that kind of thing coming to the surface. I have to believe in the American people, and that when it comes down to it, we understand that lawlessness cannot be embraced in any civil society.
That's one would like to think. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir, and thank you for coming to town, and thanks a lot for being here, and congratulations on your win, and many, many years of good health and good service. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all you do.
You bet. Congressman Michael Cloud, 27th District of Texas. Learn more about him at cloud.house.gov. Michael Cloud. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let's roll back some more of your calls, some other things going on topically, and we'll do it all next on 660 AM The Answer.
Set me free. Why don't you, baby? Get out my life. Why don't you, baby?
1977.
You really don't want me.
The great Rod Stewart decided
keep me
on Footloose and Fancy Free to do a couple of remakes.
You really don't need me.
If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Keep me
and keep me hanging on. So grab Rod Stewart's Footloose and Fancy Free. It's also, you'll also find Hot Legs on there. I love you, honey. All righty, 866-660-5759. To the phones. And we always celebrate the wonderful joy of online listening, app listening, podcast listening. Tell your smart speaker to do 660 AM The Answer. Go to 660amtheanswer.com. Get our app. Drag us around with you all the live long day. That's what helps cool things like this happen, where we go to calls in wonderful places like Hilton Head, South Carolina. Look at that. Hey, Tom. Mark Davis, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Good morning.
Hi.
It's beautiful and sunny and windy out here. It's a little cooler here than it is in Texas right now, but it's beautiful.
Great to have you.
Thanks. I was listening earlier via the app, and a very angry caller that was referring to the fact that at least certain black churches were referring to see the president as a demon, and that, of course, hurts my heart. And frankly, this is a scripture that I have used to myself. I need to hear this scripture sometimes, depending on who's in power myself, but it's from two different passages, and I won't read both of them, but I'll just summarize both, either from Romans 13, 1 through 7, or through 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. The idea is, no, whoever's in authority, God has put them there, and it is my job to show them respect and honor and submission. And I just don't think that's consistent with that caller. And frankly, some Never Trumpers and a few others need to listen to this as well. And sometimes myself, I need to listen to it.
No,
but I would
you bet.
Suggest,
go ahead.
I would suggest the next time a caller like that calls in, have them open their Bible if they have one handy and have them read it out loud on the radio. And that may just have a nice
little audio. That's credit, right? It's Bible quotes under pressure from the host. Hey, you know what? I'm all in. Tom, thank you. And in fact, and wonderful gentleman I have some familiarity with threw down that, you know, and while offering up ministerial credentials, well, we kind of think Trump's the devil. It's like, dude, really? And I'll tell you, I'll go a layer deeper, all right? As far as people who are in positions of power, and listen, are there folks who probably needed to remind themselves of that when they went off on Obama for 8 years? Yep. That is why it was always very, very important to me to make sure you knew that my opposition was to his agenda. And it was a vociferous opposition to his agenda. And it also was some pushback to when he made things very, very personal. You know, the bitter clingers comment. bitterly clinging to guns and Bibles, the things that were done to conservatives in the Obama administration. These were not good, and I gladly pointed them out. But I, to this day, want nothing but health, success, and prosperity to Barack and Michelle and those lovely daughters in private life where they can't screw up my country. So let's step a little further than just the way we're supposed to feel about people in high public office, and let's spend a moment on how we're supposed to feel about each other. Because over the weekend, as the Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing began to settle in and marinate, and everybody started to freak out, and there were a number of sort of social media posts where I said, man, we need God now more than ever. We need to be and the reason for this is that at a time when voices may get even louder and tensions may be even greater and actual violence may, unless, what is this so hard to believe? Because of race baiting and race wars fomented by the left. We have people being badgered in restaurants. We have people being harassed in their homes. We have people being threatened on the street. So you think this is the people are going to handle this calmly? And that is, the whole Bible's great, but you cannot do better than Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. He who is slow to anger quiets contention. And then from James, the one that's just good advice for everybody, especially me and folks in my industry, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1, 19 and 20. We need those in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, because in the days to come, in the years to come, there will be copious examples of people not keeping those thoughts close enough to their hearts. Guess what? I ain't perfect. And this, by the way, this last gentleman was so great in offering up some instruction, some teaching, some suggestions to look hard in the mirror. Any of us who do that need to look hard in the mirror. Every single thing I've ever told you to do, every single thing I've suggested you do, involves two things. Looking back at my own life and the places where I've totally failed to do those things, and looking at my life today and moving forward and making sure that as I say these things to you, that I'm doing my best to keep them myself. So, okay, thank you. Appreciate that. 9:31 into the world of news we go, and then back onto your calls. Let's see, much has been made of Ted Cruz on This Week with Stephanopoulos. Let's see, let's listen to the panic coming from Good Morning America and just whatever else we can get to, audio-wise and telephone call-wise before 10 o'clock. Come on, ride with me, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 9:31. Here's Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. I love me some Ricky Lee Jones. So around 1979, she puts out an album called Ricky Lee Jones. A little hit called Chuck E's in Love, you might recall that. And then a couple of years later, an album called Pirates. And it's awesome. So we'll love. 866-660-5759. So Ted Cruz was on This Week with Stephanopoulos. And let's duck into that here in a minute, because first thing George did is like, Ted, 4 years ago, you guys said no hearing, and now y'all are saying hearing. What's up with that? Listen, my dog understands this now, that when the president and the Senate are of different parties, you're not going to get a nomination. When they are, you will. And both of those are completely proper. 2016, Democrat president. Not going to happen. Know why? Republican Senate. If Barack Obama had a Democrat Senate, Merrick Garland would be on the court right now. So thank God we dodged that bullet. Now, right now, 2020, Republican president, Republican Senate. Off you go. That's all that matters. It's elections have consequences. It is that simple. Now, here's the thing. In some dark future day, when we have a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate, oh, please let that not happen. We're going to have to stick up for this as well. And I'll wholeheartedly do that. I ain't going to like it, but I'll do it because logic and consistency require it. We'll hear Ted here in just a second. We're in Dallas. Jeff, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I think that every media reporter and every person that is gushing with all these tributes to the hero Ruth Bader Ginsburg should be ashamed of themselves. Because
why?
All of a sudden, here's why. Because supposedly we have this terrible country that is so unjust. There's no racial equality. There's no gender equality. There's no climate equality. There's no economic equality. Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg got a job with the ACLU as chief legal counsel in 1973. And supposedly she has spent 50 years championing women's rights. That's what they're saying. Well, if we haven't come anywhere in 50 years, if we're still so unequal, then you of all just disparage her memory.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have Roe versus Wade overturned in nearly 50 years. Does that mean that all those efforts have been for naught?
No, I just think that we have come so far. I mean, women don't get paid less for the same job by and large. I mean, there's not all this inequality and injustice out there, like they're saying. That's my point.
And that is a good one. That a part of the left, whether it's in a judicial robe or in the halls of Congress, is to make sure that America feels just dreadful about the country, that the country remains a stew pot of racism and sexism and horrible things that only liberal court rulings and only liberal elected officials can cure. Thankfully, we are learning otherwise. At least I hope we are learning otherwise. Okay, so Stephanopoulos asks Ted Cruz, hey, 4 years ago, no hearings, and now and all of a sudden, hearings. What gives?
Now, on the question of precedent, look, we had this fight at the end of the Barack Obama term, and at the time, all the Democrats were saying, confirm the nominee, and all the Republicans were saying, we're not going to confirm the nominee. And so we've got a situation, you just played a quote from me in 2016. We can play that game all day long where you can play a quote from Chuck Schumer saying, you've got to confirm the nominee.
I don't disagree with that. That's what I'm just trying to get you to concede. This is really about who has the votes and who has the power at any given time.
Yes! There's nothing wrong. That's how the country works. Exactly right. If you have the presidency and the Senate, nominee is going to happen. If you don't, if the president is of if the Senate's of an opposite party, it's not going to happen. This is not hard.
So no, actually, it isn't. If you look at history, if you actually look at what the precedent is, this has happened 29 times. 29 times there has been a vacancy in a presidential election year. Now, presidents have made nominations all 29 times. That's what presidents do. If there's a vacancy, they make a nomination. What has the Senate done? And there's a big difference in the Senate with whether the Senate is of the same party of the president or a different party of the president. When the Senate has been of the same party of the president, a vacancy occurs in an election year, of the 29 times, those are 19 of them. Of those 19, the Senate has confirmed those nominees 17 times. So if the parties are the same, the Senate confirms the nominee. When the parties are different, that's happened 10 times. Merrick Garland was one of them. Of those 10, the Senate has confirmed the nominees only twice. And there's a reason for that. It's not just simply your party, my party. The reason is it's a question of checks and balances. In order for a Supreme Court nomination to go forward, you have to have the president and the Senate. In this instance, the American people voted. They elected Donald Trump. A big part of the reason they elected Donald Trump is because of the Scalia vacancy, and they wanted principled constitutionalists on the court.
Precisely right, which is why now that we have, and then Scalia, of course, was passed in 2016, and then we had that whole, you know, Merrick Garland drama unfold. And then the Trump presidency kicks in, and we got Neil Gorsuch, and then we got Brett Kavanaugh, and now we may get Amy Coney Barrett or any one of a number of a couple of women who are superb constitutionalists. And that is why, for this, what Ted Cruz is sharing right here, for Susan Collins, for Lisa Murkowski, and it's funny, I've heard precious little from the usually mouthy Mitt Romney at times like this. I have a feeling if Mitt were in full troublemaker mode, he might be telegraphing that. So might we get a surprising moment of actual principle from Mitt Romney rather than just Trump hatred? We may not need any of them because we have 53 Republicans. So you can lose Murkowski, lose Collins, lose Romney. Lamar Alexander, who's also retiring and has been a bit of a squish at times, has thankfully come on record and said he will vote for the Trump nominee. So gosh, if you lose three, that's 50-50. Huh. What happens then? Then Mike Pence becomes your favorite vice president ever. I always said Dick Cheney is my favorite vice president. If he pulls this one off. Now, but here's the other interesting thing. I think Lisa Murkowski, she's just lost. Susan Collins has a tough election she is facing in these New England Republicans. What even is that? Sometimes you wonder. And I think she's trying to play a little safe by saying that the nomination should wait. There is no reason to say that, but she's saying it, I think, to curry favor with Maine Republicans and maybe even an occasional Maine Democrat who might vote for her, that she can say all day, and so can Lisa Murkowski up in Alaska, that we should wait, we should wait, we should wait. Well, guess what? Trump ain't going to wait. So then the question becomes, here comes the nomination. What are you going to do? Are you really going to vote against it? Both of those senators could very well say, well, we wanted him to wait, but he didn't wait. But if he's going to send us a nomination, we're going to go ahead and vote for it. I believe Susan Collins will do that. Lisa Murkowski, I do not know. And thankfully, I do not have to care. 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Gene, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Monday.
Thank you, sir.
Hey.
If you want to blame anybody for the situation that's going on that the Democrats, whose hairs are on fire, are screaming about, blame Ginsburg. During the Obama administration, they could have asked her to gracefully retire like all other people have before, and she did not.
No.
As total for liberals, it's all about them. And they're the only ones. She could have retired. Obama could have appointed somebody else.
Right.
And we wouldn't be going through this. So then again, it's all about the liberals.
It is. And that point's been made a couple of times. And it's not a bad point that if she wanted so much to have a Democrat president make the call, how about retiring while one is in office? Here's the funny thing, though. Same thing would have happened with Merrick Garland. Is that would not have been heard. So what you got to do, though, she would have had to have actually retired some years ago, maybe even in Obama's first term, or the beginning of a second before the Republic, or in his first term, when he had a Democrat Senate. But the point can properly be made that if this is the one thing, is because, we must respect her wishes. We must honor her wishes. No, we don't. We honor her service. We honor her citizenship, her friendship with Scalia. There's a lot to honor in this impactful and important woman's life. But as far as honoring her wishes as to how things go after she dies, excuse me, but no. And by the way, ditto the other side. If you had a Democrat president and a constitutionalist justice dies, he goes, oh, by the way, my dying wish is don't let this president pick anybody. Well, excuse me. Love you, but that's not the way things go. More Ted Cruz on This Week with Stephanopoulos.
And a big part of the reason why we have a Republican majority elected in 2014, reelected in 2016, grown even larger in 2018, a major issue in each of those elections is the American people voted and said, we want constitutionalist judges. And so the president was elected to do this, and the Senate was elected to confirm this nomination.
As you know, generally those picks in an election year have been consensus picks, but I do want to move on. You've made your point right there. What I want to get to now is...
Yes, he has. Oh, my. I tell you what. Let's tie a bow around this for the moment. This is going to be hell. The president has said that he will name someone on Friday or Saturday. And maybe that is to blunt what's going to happen to some poor woman at that time. It'll be the best day of her life and the beginning of the worst period of her life. It might be Amy Coney Barrett. The other two that I consider a possibility are Barbara Lagoa and Allison Jones Rushing. Whatever woman it is, she is about to be absolutely savaged and brutalized by the American left. And if this sort of sinks into the news black hole of a weekend, maybe it won't be as bad for her. And then we'll all get a week from today, her name will be on all of our lips and we'll see what we think and the rodeo will be on. But it's going to be terrible. The good news, the silver lining is the thing that's going to make it terrible will be Democrats making complete asses of themselves. And I think that helps on the 3rd of November. It is 9:50. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. String of broken promises, another link of chance. I would wrap up with a little Robert Earl Keen. It's been a long, hot summer, not a drop of rain. And not a drop of rain. Hey, as we hit the exit ramp, let me tell you something that we're doing as a station that you can really help us with. We're helping out a group called Heart for Lebanon. This portion of the world, the war in Syria, not over. Refugees all over the place. Humanitarian aid by itself, never enough. And we're giving help through money and through the gospel to the people, the suffering people of Lebanon. And it is Heart for Lebanon. Let me give you a phone number and then tell you something you can do if you're a business. Phone number is 888-211-5944. 888-211-5944. A gift of $58 helps bring a family impacted by this crisis with emergency supplies for the next 60 days and the hope of the gospel, which lasts forever. 888-211-5944. Now, if you're a business, you got $2,500. Now, that's some coin. But that goes to Heart for Lebanon, and we give you an ad campaign on 660 AM The Answer. Click Contact Us on 660amtheanswer.com. Learn all you need. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, Matt Broom in for Shane today. Great job, as always. And news ace Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families, our flag, our anthem. Have a great day. See you in the morning.